ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः कर्मसन्न्यासयोगो नाम पञ्चमोऽध्यायः सो वी हैव टू रिमेम्बर भगवान एक्चुअली डिस्कसेस द टू फोल्ड कमिटेड लाइफस्टाइल्स अ हाउस बीइंग लाइफ फॉलोइंग लाइफस्टाइल ऑफ बीइंग हाउस होल्डर ग्रस्तः लिविंग लाइफ ऑफ कर्म योग अदरवाइज टोटली कमिटिंग ऑन टू परस्यूट ऑफ नॉलेज एज अ विदुषा सन्यासी बिटवीन दीज टू लाइफ स्टाइल्स भगवान सेज देयर्स नो डिफरेंस बोथ लाइफ स्टाइल्स हैव द सेम गोल इन फैक्ट देयर नॉट डिफरेंट Only people who are immature can say they are different. So whatever end is to be accomplished by a sannyasi, actually will be accomplished by a karma yogi also. In fact, he glorifies karma yoga. Karma yoga is better. He says, why? Because if a person goes through a life of karma yoga, there is definitely a person lives as a karma yogi, following a life of karma yoga, the discipline of karma yoga, definitely there's a possibility of the person becoming mature emotionally, becoming qualified for jnanam. Therefore, his pursuit of knowledge will be comfortable. It will not be difficult because he is adequately qualified. Whereas, without becoming prepared for sannyasa lifestyle, without being adequately prepared for a lifestyle, and a person chooses like sannyasa, he cannot benefit just simply calling himself a sannyasi, he cannot benefit by anything. Then there's no possibility of becoming mature, becoming qualified for jnanam also, because he's not following the lifestyle prescribed for mental preparation. So he does not benefit anything at all. He'll be a loser. Therefore, it is better to choose to be a grihastha. Living a life of karma yoga is better. Who he emphasized, then he was talking about the wise person. As a lives life karma yoga, entering into the grihastha ashrama, thereby in due course of time becoming adequately prepared. And he goes through a life of jnana yoga, goes the discipline of jnana yoga, ultimately person attains knowledge. Whether sannyasi or a grihastha, if they attain jnanam, then that jnana, they are free. And if a person, then he'll be objective. That's what Bhagavan was talking about in these 9th and 10th verses we saw last class. A grihastha jnani or a person, whether a person lived life karma yoga as a grihastha, or whether he has chosen to live a life of sannyasa, doesn't matter. Once a person attains jnanam, then he is free. Then there's no sense of being a doer, no sense of being an enjoyer on the part of a wise person. Even if he is a grihastha jnani, still there's no doership or enjoyership. Therefore, even though he's involved in all physical activities, his sense organs are involved in all functions, still he'll be objective. He will see that sense powers are all in their corresponding, in contact with corresponding objects. Therefore, I actually does not do anything. I do not do anything. That is how a wise person who knows the truth of the self will see. That is what is said in this verse number 8 and 9. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyeta tattvavit pashyan shrinvan sprushan jighran ashnan gachan swapan shvasan pralapan visrujan grinnan Unmishannimishannapi Indriyanindriyartheshu Vartantayiti Dharayan. Is very clear? So, Pashyan, Shrinvan, Sprushan, Jighran, Ashnan. All the sense powers are involved in their corresponding functions. Thereby, they are in association with their corresponding objects. Similarly, all the powers of organs of actions are involved in their corresponding objects, in the activities, gachan, swapan, shvasan, pralapan, visrujan. So all the 10 powers are in contact with the corresponding functions and activities. Therefore, what does I do here? I am Atma Brahma, the Chaitanyam, in whose presence the functions are happening, actions are happening. Actually, I is not really involved in any activity. For he thinks, I am Aham Naiva Kinchit Karomi, I do not do anything at all. Iti Yuktaha Tattva with manyeta. This is how person sees the self, which means he is absolutely free from doership and enjoyership, even though his body, mind, and complex are involved in activities and functions. Which means he is objective towards his physical body, he is objective towards his sense organs, he is objective towards his organs of actions, he is objective towards his physiological functions, he is objective towards his mind. He is endowed with the body, mind, and complex. He makes use of them. He is there very much as an individual, but still in his understanding, for him, the self is Atma Brahma. I am Brahma, Aham Atma. Which means he is objective towards, in spite of being endowed with the body, mind, and complex, he is objective towards his body, mind, and complex, which means he does not have I sense in the body. The most difficult thing is, you know, really taking away the I sense from the physical body. In order to be able to see body as an object, to be objective towards one's body, to be objective towards one's sense organs and mind, especially mind also, very difficult. And this person's objective towards his body, mind, sense complex, even though he's endowed with the body, mind, sense complex. Even though he's physically active, sensorily active, he's involved, all his, the functions are happening. Still, he does not see him, his objective towards the functions and the activities of body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, he does not internalize, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. He does not take body, mind, sense complexes, activities and functions as his activities. Therefore, he is very clear in his understanding. I does not do anything, which means I is not involved in any of the activities. Therefore, I am not doing anything at all. He very clear. This is how a wise person, the knower of the truth, sees. Okay. We have already completed these verses. We'll move on to the 10th verse, today's verse, today's class.
Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti yaha. Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti yaha. Lipyatena sapapena padmapatramivambhasa.
So, yaha karoti, he who performs what? Karmani. Yaha karmani karoti, he who performs activities. See, Bhagavan does not know, he who does not perform activities. He who performs activities, the one who performs activities. Yaha karmani karoti. So, 5th chapter, 10th verse. Who he performs activities. Yaha karmani karoti. But katham karoti, that is important. Katham karoti. Sangam tyaktva. So sangam tyaktva means what? Without having given up the attachment. Which means without being attached to the fruits of actions. Or without being attached to the very actions themselves. What does it mean without being attached? I told you many times, without being attached performing an action, without being attached performing an action means without not being attached to the fruits of actions or to the actions. Which means without being dependent on fruits of actions, results of actions, or the performance of actions for one's happiness and security. The person performs activities for the sake of performing. It is said to be sangam tyaktva karoti. Be very careful. Not without expecting the results. Of course, the performance of actions itself is for the results. Expecting the results, for the results alone, one can perform activities. He performs, but he performs without being attached to the results of actions and the actions. Sangam tyaktva yaha karmani karoti. And how is it possible if for a one how is it possible for one to perform actions without being dependent on results of actions or actions for one's happiness and security? How is it possible? How is it possible for one to perform actions without attachment? It is possible only if you dedicate, offer all our activities to Bhagavan. Otherwise, it is not possible. So, Brahmani Adhaya. So, Sangatyaga, detachment towards everything is possible. Dispassion towards everything is possible. Independence towards everything is possible. Independence upon results of actions are for everything is possible. Only if there is a person can dedicate everything to Ishvara. Brahmani Adhaya. So Brahmani Adhaya yaha karmani sangam tyaktva karoti. It is a literal meaning first. Brahmani Adhaya. So here Brahma stands for Ishvara, the Lord. So offering all one's actions to the Lord, dedicating one's actions to the Lord, whoever performs actions without attachment, and such a person, Bhagavan says, saha, he, na lipyate, he is not tainted, touched, he is not afflicted by what? Papena. Papena sahana lipyate. That person is not lipyate, is not affected, not tainted, touched by any punyamar papam. Papam here implies what? Papam here implies both punyam and papam. Any result of action. He is not touched by any punya papa means this person performs activities, but he is free from punya papa. How is it possible? If you perform an action, what is the law of karma? Every karma definitely produces punya papam. Therefore, it is not possible for one to escape punya papam. There is no choice about performing an action. To live this life, you have to perform actions. And once you perform actions, the law of karma is definitely actions produce the punya papam. There will be result of actions. And those results of actions have to be exhausted. No choice. That is what we have understood. But look at this now. We have to understand. To live one's life, one has to perform actions. So performance of actions is inevitable. Once you perform actions, results of actions are inevitable. Results of actions are there. Exhaustion of results of actions also is inevitable. Which means one has to exhaust one's punya papams. That is the law. But here Bhagavan Krishna says that person, in spite of performing actions, he is not touched by any results of actions. Punyam or papam, he does not have punya papam. He performs activities, still he is not touched by punya papams. How is it? Which means he is free. He does not need to exhaust punya papam. Which means he is free from punya papam. Does he not perform? He performs. But what is that which frees him from, what is it which frees him from the hold of punya papam? It is his dedication to Ishvara. And it is the detachment and dedication really prevents him, helps him. What? That he is not affected by results of actions. Like what Bhagavan says here, Padmapatram Ambasa Iva. Padmapatram Ambasa Na Lipyate. So Padmapatram, lotus leaf, Ambas means water. It is Sakaranta Shabda. Therefore, what is the third case? Ambasa. Ambasa Padmapatram Na Lipyate. Ambasa Padmapatram na lipyate. Lotus leaf is not touched by water. It's not that leaf is somewhere sitting away from water. Lotus leaf, lotus plant's life itself is only in water. Lotus has to live means it has to be only in water. So there's no way of lotus leaf being away from water in spite of all the time remaining in water. Lotus leaf is not touched by water. Similarly, this person is not non-performer of actions. He performs actions always, but his dedication of his activities to the Lord and his detachment towards his activities and results, helps him. That how he performs, but he is not touched by punya papa. He is free from punya papam. And then therefore he does not need to exhaust punya papam. He is free. So how is it possible? What does it mean by saying dedicating one's activities to Ishvara? Those things we have seen the literal meaning now. Let us see that now. So, Brahmani Karmani Adhaya Yaha Sangam Tektva Karmani Brahmani Adhaya கரோதி. பிரம்மணி ஆதாய சங்கம் தியக்த்வா யஹ கர்மாணி கரோதி சஹ பத்மபத்ரம் அம்பசா இவ ந லிப்யதே ததா சஹ பாபேன ந லிப்யதே. இஸ் தி ப்ரோஹட் வித் தி டெடிகேஷன் டு தி லார்ட், டெடிகேஷன் ஆஃப் ஒன்ஸ் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ் டு தி லார்ட். A person who performs activities without attachment is not affected by any punya papam result of actions, like the lotus leaf which is not touched by, which doesn't get wet by water. So here we have to see in the previous verses, the wise person tattvavit was praised. Why tattvavit was praised? Because the wise person discovers the true self, one's true nature, real nature. Thereby he resolves all the fundamental problem. He becomes free from the hold of all wrong notions about the self. Therefore, he is free. He is completely free. But now, Bhagavan says, here, even a karma yogi, even if a person has not yet discovered the self, until one discovers one's own real nature, being Paramatma, being identical Paramatma, one has to perform actions, but one can shift one's dependence from the world to Bhagavan. That means one can perform actions, one understands the limitations of karma and the karma phalam. Therefore, he is not dependent on how can the karma, time-bound karma, produce timeless, everlasting happiness. How can the actions which are dependent give him insecurity? So, knowing the limitations of karma and the karma phalam, so without being dependent on karma and karma phalam, he shifts his dependence from the world to Bhagavan, Ishvara. Therefore, he knows Ishvara is the only source of happiness and security. Ishvara Sarupa Jnanam alone will give him security and happiness. So, which means, he is dependent on Ishvara. So I am living this life ultimately to discover Ishvara Swarupam as myself. I am living my life ultimately to discover Bhagavan as myself. Until Bhagavan Swarupam, obtaining as my own Swarupam, becomes revealed to me, I do all that I need to do to prepare my mind for Jnanam. With this understanding, when a person performs, see, for moksha, for jnanam, ultimately to discover Bhagavan, I'm living this life ultimately to discover Bhagavan, I'm living this life ultimately to discover Bhagavan, the truth, the Bhagavan for the truth, as my own self. That is where my moksha is, that is what is going to make my life really successful. And with this understanding, for jnanam, the total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, when a person performs his actions just to live his life, there's no doubt about his ultimate goal. As a purushartha nischevan purusha, when he performs, all his activities become offered to Bhagavan, dedicated to Bhagavan. Okay? Therefore, there's no dependence. I mean, even such a person, you know, in due, when all his activities become, what now? All his activities are nishkama karma. Nishkama karma means what? He performs activities, he expects the results, wants the results, but 100% he is clear. Whatever results he is expecting, even if the results, expected results come also, they will not free him from limitations. They will not give him permanent happiness. They will not make him feel secure. With understanding, when he performs, jnanam alone will free me from bondage. With this understanding, when a person performs actions, all that he does ultimately to prepare his mind for jnanam, then his karma becomes nishkama karma. And such a person, in due course of time, how can he miss jnanam? He will attain jnanam. He will be blessed with jnanam. How can he avoid, how can he miss Bhagavan's grace? Bhagavan's grace will be, he will tap Bhagavan's grace easily because of his attitude and dedication. And naturally he'll be blessed with the jnanam. Such a person in due course of time attain jnanam, will become free from punya papams. He will not be touched by punya papam. Okay? He'll be free. That's what is Bhagavan saying in this particular verse. Why? Because once he shifts his dependence from the world to Bhagavan, then he will tap Bhagavan's grace. Thereby, what will happen? He will become qualified for jnanam. Once he has jnanam, and even he will see, he will understand Bhagavan. There's no Bhagavan other than the truth. And the Bhagavan of truth is there as one's own self. And the vision of one's own self being identical with Paramatma, understanding one's own self, the very truth being the very source of happiness and security. In when all his wrong notions resolve, the perspective of the world and the self changes, then all his, the problems caused by wrong notions also resolve, and he is free. He attains freedom while living. Therefore, he is, even though he is performing activities, still he is free. He has a jivan muktaha. He performs activities, still he is free. Okay, he is free. And in freedom, he is no more dependent on Bhagavan also. He is self-dependent. Until and unless jnanam takes place, you cannot be independent. In jnanam, when you discover your own self being a source of very truth, which is Paramatma, you understand you are the very source of, because you are Ishvara. Like wave is water, you are Ishvara. Ishvara is not you, but you are Ishvara. Not only you are Ishvara, everything is Ishvara. And you are the very truth, the only truth, which is Ishvara, which is non-separate from everything, non-separate from Ishvara, for a source of happiness and security. Then, you are in jnanam, you are self-dependent. You are not dependent on Ishvara also for his security and happiness. Which means in self-dependence, there is independence, which is freedom. You are only in jnanam, one becomes absolutely independent. That's why self-dependence is independence upon Ishvara or the world. And which is freedom. Dependence is bondage, independence is freedom. It is purely emotional. Freedom from emotional dependency is moksha, freedom from bondage. But it is very difficult to shift one's dependence directly from world to self. We are too gross to do that. That is why initially we need to grow, and growth is gradual. Therefore, for all the growth, for that preparedness, for the vision to blossom, also we need Ishvara's grace. Therefore, we have to shift our dependence from world to Bhagavan, from Bhagavan to the self. Directly, you cannot skip in between. Skipping Ishvara, you can never become absolutely independent. Ishvara is very, 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 very important. Ishvara itself is not an end. When I say Ishvara, not an end, you have to go through Ishvara. Because Ishvara will be your end when you see yourself being non-separate from Ishvara. In fact, once you discover the truth, the vision will be different. Otherwise, all that is, there is only Ishvara. There is no I, there is no world. There is no I, it is only Ishvara. Only Bhagavan. Who is Bhagavan? Truth. Bhagavan is the truth. Bhagavan is the reality. And that reality, which alone is in the form of whole cosmos, therefore all that is, there is only Bhagavan. Nothing other than Bhagavan. But such vision is possible only when a person performs his activities with the proper attitude and without any attachment and totally depending upon Ishvara for security and jnanam he performs. And that dependence upon Ishvara for his happiness and security, please be careful. Dependence upon, only being dependent on Lord Ishvara for his happiness and security. When a person performs activities, he is not dependent on activities and the results. And such dependence upon Ishvara will bless him with what? Self-dependence. Is it clear? So you need, for you to become absolutely self-dependent, to become independent, you need Ishvara's grace. For Ishvara's grace, you need to be dependent on Ishvara first, for which you become independent of the world, which means you have to, dependence must be shifted. Then the attitude changes, how you do, how your activities you do, everything becomes different. Then you cannot miss jnanam. So Bhagavan says, Padmapatram iva ambasa. This person also becomes free from all punya papams. Aham atma, aham brahma asmi means where is punyam, where is papam? Punyam is Ishvara, papam is Ishvara, punya papam, phalam is Ishvara, everything is Ishvara. But Ishvara is free from everything. And I am non-separate from that Ishvara who is free from everything. That vision the person will have. Okay. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi. See, Bhagavan actually is praising a grihastha. As a grihastha, as a householder, he must be having lots of responses and activities. That is why he's a grihastha, but how does he perform? That is what is said here. In this verse, we'll see the following verse. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi yoginah karma kurvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye kayena manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi yoginah karma kurvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye. So, again Bhagavan emphasizes the grihastha, a grihastha, a householder who has purushartha nischeha, who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge for moksha, and whose aim itself is to become mentally pure and steady. See, agrihastha karma yogi does not need to worry about moksha at all, jnanam at all. In his mind, he knows what he ultimately wants is jnanam, which itself is moksha. But he doesn't need to worry about jnanam and moksha. His whole focus must be, how can I become prepared for that jnanam? The whole focus must be one's mental purification, mental steadiness, mental preparedness. Why? Because with the purushartha nischaya, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, if you only, attention is only focused on mental preparation, that is enough. Once you are working for mental preparedness means that is enough. Then your jnanam and moksha will be taken care of. Bhagavan in the form of order will take care of your jnanam and moksha. Whatever you need for shravanam, mananam, everything will be possible later on. You will have all grace to accomplish that. But you must, focus must be in preparing your mind for jnanam. Therefore, then what should a karma yoga, a grihastha do? A householder who has to do lots of things, what should he do? Bhagavan says in this verse, kayena manasa buddhya indriyaihi api kevalaihi yoginaha karma kurvanti. So yoginaha, people, the householders who live a life of karma yoga, who are committed to this discipline of karma yoga. Householders, grihasthas, who are committed to this discipline of karma yoga, who live a life of karma yoga, how do they perform activities? Kayena, manasa, buddhya, indriyaihi api. Kayena, no, with the body, with the physical body. So physically. Manasa with the mind, mentally. Buddhya with the intellect, no, intellectually. Api indriyaihi, even with sense organs. Kevalaihi. So kevalaihi means, actually implies merely with sense organs, merely with intellect, merely with the body. Merely, what does it mean here? Merely means without any identity. So kevalaihi implies, even though kevalaihi implies merely, what it means merely, what it implies is without any identity. And what do the yogis do? Karma kurvanti, perform actions. But how do they perform? Sangam tektva. The very important sangatyaga. Bhagavan, how much he did sangatyaga, sangatyaga, sangatyaga. So, sangam tyaktva. So, giving up the attachment means without being attached. Sangam tyaktva. Yoginaha kayena manasa no buddhya kevalaihi indriyaihi api karma kurvanti. Sangam tektva karma kurvanti. That's all. I tell you, once you are born in this world as a human being, no way. We all ignorant person also is very active. Ignorant person is active. Jnani is also active. Everybody is active. Every human being is naturally active because biological needs drive him to go and search for food and water. Everybody is naturally physically active. Nobody can remain even for a while even for a second without doing any activity. So, kshanamapi nahi kaschit jatu tishtati. Nobody can remain without doing any action even for a minute. Everybody must be doing activities. But still, what is the difference between a grihastha karma yogi and an ordinary person who does not have purushartha nischaya? What is the difference? The person who is a grihastha but who is committed to this discipline of karma yoga, who lives of karma yoga, is different from a person, other people. Why? Because other people, other grihasthas who do not live life karma yoga, they do not have purushartha nischaya. Padam artha kamas are the ultimate ends. Earn, work hard, earn money, accumulate wealth, enjoy pleasures. That is the end for them. There's no moksha. Moksha is not the purushartha. They may be religious, they may be worshipful and prayerful, they may be artha bhaktas or arthi bhaktas, but they may not be jignyasu bhaktas. So without being a jignyasu bhakta, even as a simple religious person, religious people, worshipping the Lord, praying to the Lord, doing lot of activities, having artha kamas as the ends, one may be very active. They can, hachagrihasthas are also there. They may not follow this discipline of karma yoga, which means they are very active, but they are not detached. They are very much attached to their activities and the results of actions. Why? Because for them, the very activity itself is possible because of their attachment. They are purely dependent on artha kamas, relationships, the world and people and situations for their happiness and security. They search for moksha through artha kamas. Whereas this karma yogi, this grihastha who is given to the discipline of karma yoga, he is detached. He is also active like other people. Kayena manasa buddhya indriyaihi, he is doing all activities. But he merely performs activities with all of them, but he is not attached. Which means he is not dependent on results or activities for his happiness or security. He is only dependent only on Bhagavan for his happiness and security. He is absolutely dependent on Bhagavan's grace for his happiness and security. And to have Bhagavan's grace, and he knows he has to choicelessly live a life of dharma. He is totally committed to live a life of dharma. His will is rendered to Bhagavan in the form of order. So with the commitment to live a life of dharma, knowing the value of dharma, offering all his actions to Bhagavan, the proper attitude, for moksha, for jnanam, seeking only Bhagavan's grace, and the person lives a life of detachment, I tell you, he can tap Bhagavan's grace. Okay? And once Bhagavan's grace is there, he will be mentally, adequately pure and steady. So, mental purity, Atma Shuddhaye, Kimartam Yoginaha Karma Kurvanti, Kimartam Kurvanti, what do these Karma Yogis perform actions for? What do they perform actions for? Not for artha, not for kama, not even for dharma. They perform activities for atma shuddhihi, antakarana shuddhihi, for mental purification, mental preparation. Why do they want mental preparation? Only then jnanam is possible. Only then moksha is possible. So atma shuddhihi, how can they have? By tapping Bhagavan's grace. How can they tap Bhagavan's grace? By living a life of dharma. How can they live a life of dharma? By doing all their activities in conformity with dharma. And they are not dependent. How is it possible? Why do they live a life of dharma? Because they are not dependent on artha, kama, dharma for their happiness and security. Okay, they knew even dharma they follow only for mental preparation. Artha kamas they pursue only for mental preparation, but not for moksha, not for happiness, not for security. Because they are dependent only on Bhagavan Swarupam, only jnanam for happiness. They depend only on jnanam for happiness and security. And for jnanam, whose jnanam? Bhagavan Swarupa jnanam is their own Swarupa jnanam. And for that jnanam, they need Ishwara's grace. To have Bhagavan's grace, no way of tapping Bhagavan's grace unless one lives one's life totally in purely in conformity with dharma. Therefore, yoginaha karma kurvanti atma shuddhaye. Atma shuddhi is very, very, very important. For mental purity, mental purification alone they perform activities. Atma shuddhaye karma kurvanti. Remember this. Natu mokshartam, natu jnanartam. Not for moksha, not for jnanam they perform activities. They perform activities for mental purification. But mental purification is for jnanam. And jnanam is for moksha. And atma shuddhi is possible only if they have Bhagavan's grace. And Bhagavan's grace is possible only if they live a life of dharma. Therefore, the karma yogi's life is, in fact, every fraction of second, every day, in every activity, in every day from morning till evening, that Bhagavan is there for him. Bhagavan is very much there in everything he does. Ishvara is never forgotten. All the time Ishvara smaranam. Bhagavan, 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 Ishvara, 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 Ishvara Krupa, Ishvara Krupa, Ishvara Krupa. Bhagavan's grace is the focus. Only Bhagavan's grace can help me really have Antakarna Shuddhi. Antakarna Shuddhi is there, then jnanam, moksha, everything will be possible. Therefore, this person, he is not dependent on artha, kama, dharma for his happiness and security. But he pursues artha, kama, dharma in conformity with dharma, ultimately for mental purification, which is ultimately for jnanam, which is moksha. Where Bhagavan says, Krishna says in this verse, how karma yogis perform activities. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalehi indriyehi api sangam tva atma shuddhaye yoginaha karma kurvanti. Atma shuddhihi ikaranta stilinga shabdha. Shuddhihi ikaranta stilinga shabdha. What is the fourth case? Shuddhaye. Atma shuddhaye karma kurvanti. For mental purity, they perform activities. Okay. So, actually, here, Bhagavan actually makes it clear. Karma yogaha, which means that living the discipline of karma yoga can be followed at different levels. At physical level, at oral, verbal level, mental level, you know, in keeping with one's own convenience, it can be followed. So, the option is available here. The Vedic tradition shows this option, you know, that at any level one can live, follow this discipline. If it is possible for us to follow this discipline of karma yoga at all levels, then there is nothing impossible. So that Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, this attitude of offering everything to Bhagavan, that attitude is very, very, very important. So we'll see next verse. So Antakarna Shuddhi is very important. Mental purity is very important. I explained to you many times. Mental purity means Antakarna Shuddhi means being able to manage one's emotions. In absolute purity, there's no need for us to manage the emotions. You know why? Mind is absolutely pure. No emotions at all. Then what are you going to manage? There's no need for it to manage. So that happens in jnanam. All your emotions, your ragadveshas, your hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, jealousy, all these fear, the pain, sorrow, grief, sadness, hurt, guilt, all these emotions will be resolved for good in jnanam. In their perspective changes. Even if somebody wants to come and stir, it cannot be stirred. It cannot surface, because it will not be available for it to be stirred or to triggered for it to come out. It will be resolved in jnanam. That is why nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There is nothing which is as purifying as jnanam. In jnanam, all your emotions will resolve for good. Non-triggerably, they will be resolved. That is why jnanam is said to be the only means of purification. Absolute purity is possible. Purity is possible only in jnanam. But for the absolute jnanam in terms of absolute purity, which is itself is moksha, freedom from the hold of emotions, is freedom from mind, which is moksha, jivan muktihi, for that one must become relatively pure, and relative purity is said to be antakarna shuddhihi, accomplishable by Bhagavan's grace when a person lives life of karma yoga in conformity with dharma. So atma shuddhihi means you cannot undo your emotions. We have to understand our helplessness. Our anger. No, we have not created our anger, our desires, our likes and dislikes, our jealousy, the hatred, fear, anxiety. What can we do? They just rise. Completely we are helpless. They rise. And once they rise and they get expressed in the behavior, because we cannot undo them, nor can we handle them, nor can we manage them. Once they will just express in the form of behavior. Our external behavior, physical behavior, actually is completely governed by the emotions in the mind. So we do not even know what you are doing, what you are talking, what you are saying, what you are typing, what you are texting, what you are saying. Your behavior may be highly damaging, destructive, hurtful. Know that you want to do it. Sometimes helplessly we do that. Why? The emotions, they all rise. And what happens? The external situations become instrumental to trigger your emotions. They become triggered. They surface. Given situation, somebody does not give you something, that becomes a mittam to trigger your emotions. Somebody just says something for fun, something you misunderstand. Your emotions are triggered. So all you have big baggage in your subconscious. Every one of us has big baggage, and they get triggered, they surface. When they surface, you cannot stop them from rising. You cannot undo them, nor can you suppress them or oppress them or control them. They will just be there. And then you are hurt. The hurt person hurts, causes more hurt. The person who is disturbed causes more disturbance. The disturbed alone can be disturb others. You are disturbed means you will be big disturbance. That is why we have to help people who are disturbed, to avoid more disturbance. You know, all the sick people have been taken care of carefully. That is why when you see all these dogs in the road, we have to thankful to Bhagavan to such a creature called dogs have come into this world. They help most of the people to manage their emotions. What all we are dependent on now. Now what I'm saying here, disturbed will contribute for disturbance. You know, very difficult, dangerous. Therefore, here the emotions have to be managed. We cannot undo them, oppress them, suppress them, destroy them, stop them. They just rise because you are helpless. Anyone is helpless, and but they have to be managed. Which means they must be, and if you're able to manage those emotions, means they rise, but still they do not get expressed in your behavior. But for a wise person, for a jnani, where there is jnanam, in that time, then such that mind, emotions do not even rise. But whereas for a jnani, but still a person who is living a life karma yoga, who is committed to live a life of dharma, prayerfully, who seeks Bhagavan's grace desperately, such a person, because of his commitment to dharma, the emotions may rise, but they do not get expressed, which means they're managed. So that they at least it doesn't damage anything outside. You know, it's very, very important. And such management, thought management, emotion management, mind management is possible, means that person is mentally adequately pure. What happened to anger? Anger is not completely not deleted, but still anger is managed. There's anger, there's the fear, but nothing gets expressed, nothing causes any damage. This person handles the emotions very well. That capacity to handle one's emotions is possible only when a person has Bhagavan's grace. And that grace is possible only when a person is consciously doing everything in conformity with dharma. And that is possible because he performs everything with Isharpana Buddhi. Ultimately, his whole life is lived for discovering Bhagavan Swarupam. I need Bhagavan's grace for Antakarna Shuddhi, Jnanam and Moksha. If I had to have Bhagavan's grace, and then I just do everything in conform with dharma, ultimately for Bhagavan. Therefore, that's called Atma Shuddhaye. Understand? Atma Shuddhaye Yoginaha Karma Kurvanti. So relative purity is possible when they live a life of dharma, karma yoga in conformity with dharma. Thereby, when they become qualified for jnanam, they attain jnanam. In jnanam, they become absolutely pure. An absolute mental purity is actually freedom, which is moksha. Purity is knowledge is purity. Purity is strength. And purity is freedom. Peace of mind means peaceful mind. Is the pure mind, is the peaceful mind. Peaceful mind is the happy mind also. Which means the person is not happy which comes and goes. The mind which revels in happiness. Therefore, Bhagavan says here, so Atma Shuddhi, mental purity is very important for jnanam, and in jnanam, absolute purity is possible.
Yukta karma phalam tyaktva. Yukta karma phalam tyaktva. Shanti mapnoti naishthikim. Yukta karma phalam tyaktva. Shanti mapnoti naishthikim. Ayukta kamakarena. phale sakto nibadhyate ayuktah kamakarena phale sakto nibadhyate yuktah karma phalam tyaktva shantimapnoti naishtikim ayuktah kamakarena phale sakto nibadhyate.
So Bhagavan is comparing the ayuktaha and yuktaha. Yuktaha is the one who lives a life of karma yoga, the person of integration, the integrated personality, one whose thought, word and deed are in alignment, identical. He is yuktaha, a karma yogi. Whereas ayuktaha is kripanaha. Ayuktaha means the one whose thought, word and deed are not in alignment. He is ayuktaha, a kripanaha. See, yuktaha, the integrated person, the one who is committed to live a life of dharma, whose will is surrendered to Bhagavan in the form of order. And for him, what he speaks, what he does, you know, what he thinks are all in alignment. Thought, word and deed are in alignment. Which means commitment to dharma is there. And that is possible because he's totally committed to ultimately what he wants is jnanam, which is Bhagavan. He is yuktaha. And he makes the best use of his intellect. He makes the best use of his willpower. He makes the best use of his knowledge of right and wrong, buddhi. We always uses his knowledge of right and wrong. Always he uses his willpower. He makes the best use of his will, makes the best use of his knowledge of right and wrong. Therefore, he is a yuktaha. Whereas the person who does not use his knowledge of right and wrong, who abuses his will, is ayuktaha. Abuser of will is ayuktaha. The one who makes the best use of his will is yuktaha. The one who makes use of the will, makes use of his knowledge of right and wrong. He chooses to do the right, refrains from the wrong. Whereas ayuktaha, the one who abuses his will, does not make use of his knowledge of right and wrong. In fact, all his actions are completely dictated by his own likes and dislikes. Ayuktaha. So what is the difference? Who achieves what? Bhagavan says here. Yuktaha shantim apnoti. Yuktaha shantim apnoti. Shantim apnoti. Simple Sanskrit. Yuktaha subject. Shantim object. Apnoti attains. Verb. A person who lives a life of karma yoga attains peace. Then we should not have any question. What is the question? If a person does not live a life of karma yoga, then can't he attain peace? We want to ask such questions. Bhagavan says, no. If you want to be peaceful, live a life of karma yoga, I don't know, better understand. If you do not know, understand what is karma yoga, live a life of karma yoga. If you want to be peaceful, choose to live a life of karma yoga. Is any shortcut method? Is there any other way of attaining being peaceful? What about being a devotee of Bhagavan? If you are not living a life of karma yoga, you are only a jignasa, you are only an artha bhaktaha or arthi bhaktaha, you will have some peace because of Bhagavan's grace, but definitely you cannot be as peaceful as you want to be. If you want to be peaceful, you must be a jignasa bhaktaha. You want to be peaceful, you must live a life of dharma. You want to be peaceful, you will live a karma yoga. Bhagavan should become your goal. Jnanam should become your goal. Moksha should be your ultimate end. Then commit yourself to live a life of dharma. You have no choice. Your actions should, you cannot just do whatever your mind says. Whatever you are doing must be governed by your knowledge of right and wrong. You must make use of your will. You must have a strong will. Seek Bhagavan's grace for strong will. Make use of your will and say no to strictly no to adharma. Say yes to dharma, whether you like it or not. Which means your likes and dislikes are really governed by your knowledge of right and wrong. Your activities are all governed by your dharma. So dharma governed life. Then you are yuktaha. A karma yogi, such a person, shantim apnoti. There's no shortcut method at all. Without living a life of dharma, you can, even however prayerful and worshipful you are, still you cannot be peaceful. Bhagavan will smile with smile, stroking your back, he will punish you. No way. Because Bhagavan is very law. Bhagavan is very dharma. Bhagavan is very order. Therefore, if you want to be peaceful, you have to live in tune with order. Being peaceful means not being disturbed. Not being disturbed means not being a disturbing person. Not being a disturbing person means not going against dharma. If we go against dharma, we are disturbing the order. Once you disturb the order, you will be disturbed by the order. And the disturbance you have to go through in terms of your mental restlessness, agitation. Therefore, yuktaha shantim apnoti. So prayerfully, worshipfully, having seek Bhagavan's grace, surrender your will to Bhagavan in the form of dharma, then live a life of dharma, karma yoga, then you can attain peace. Yuktaha shanti mapnoti. How it is said, naishthikim shanti mapnoti, not ordinary shanti, naishthiki shantihi. No, shantihi means peace. Naishthiki shantihi means the peace born of nishtha, the peace which remains as a result of nishtha. What is nishtha here? Steadfast, doubt-free, clear, ascertained vision of the truth being one's own self is called nishtha. There's a clear, doubt-free vision, ascertained vision, unshakable vision, assimilated vision of Bhagavan Ishvara, the truth as one's own self, a truth being the self. Such vision is what? Nishtha. And once such a vision is there, steadfast vision is there, then there is absolute peace. So naishthiki shanti means it is a permanent peace which doesn't come and go. It's already there. The peace which has no beginning, which has no end, which has not changed, that peace is absolute peace, is always there. That peace one discovers when, how, when this one discovers fullness. One discovers fullness when one discovers very truth. And discovers the truth means one discovers Bhagavan. Discovering Bhagavan is discovering one's own Swarupam, one's own self. Therefore, Naitikim Shanti Mapnoti, this person does not go and buy Shanti anywhere. That this Shanti is purely born of this Jnana Nishtha. This peace which he discovers as a result of this ascertained vision of the self being non-separate from Bhagavan, self being the very truth. Naitiki Shanti Mapnoti. Yuktaha Naitikim Shanti Mapnoti. How? Karma Phalam Tyaktva. Karma phal, how many times Bhagavan repeats? Don't blame me, okay? Don't think I am repeating. I'm sorry, I'm not repeating. Bhagavan, karma phalam tyaktva, karma phalam tyaktva, sangam tyaktva, sangam tyaktva, karma phalam tyaktva. How many times Bhagavan repeats? Does it go inside? Do we make any, okay, Bhagavan has said this. How many times he tells us? Have we really understood? Do we pay attention to what he's teaching? Do I follow this in my life? That must come, isn't it? So, phalam tyaktva. Tyaktva karma phalam. Karma phalam tyaktva. So, karma phalam tyaktva means not, karma phalam tyaktva, giving up results of actions does not mean not expecting the results. Every time I have to repeat this. Giving up the results of actions means not being attached to the results of actions, not being dependent on results of actions for one's peace, one's happiness and security, being totally dependent on jnanam for one's happiness and security. When a person performs activities, thereby he becomes, lives a life karma yoga, he becomes pure and steady, thereby he attains jnanam, and that jnanam also be not ordinary jnanam, nishtha. He has a steadfast, doubt-free vision, and that vision blesses him with absolute peace, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, non-disturbable, absolute peace. See, karma yoga, if you live a life of karma yoga, if you follow the discipline of karma yoga, understanding the purpose of it, definitely it will result in, finally, where will it stop? It will culminate in the attainment of absolute peace, attainment of ascertained vision, which itself is absolute peace. Don't worry about jnanam and moksha. Now just be dependent on Ishvara. Be dependent, work only for Ishvara's grace, live a life of karma yoga for mental purity, then absolute peace will be taken care of. Okay? Live a life of karma yoga, desperately seeking Bhagavan's grace, begging Bhagavan's grace always, for mental purity, you live a life of karma yoga. In due course of time, Bhagavan's grace will take care of your jnana, your shavanam, mananam, nidhyasanam, jnanam, jnana nishtha, and you will be blessed with absolute peace. You cannot say karma, you cannot praise karma yoga more than this, better than this. So Bhagavan says, then, ayuktaha, otherwise, if a person lives his life without any purushatnischaya, without commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, there's no, not even knowing the value of dharma, having arthakamas as the ultimate goals, and his thought, word and deed cannot be in alignment, cannot be identical. Ayuktaha, disintegrated person, ayuktaha, and he cannot live. There's no way of living a life karma yoga. Because karma yoga means what? It is the attitude. It is the commitment to dharma. It is the purushartha nischaya which converts your action into yoga. you all the activities of everyone performs all forms of activities, but what converts one's actions into yoga worship, what converts one's actions into discipline, a preparatory discipline. If it's a preparatory discipline, anything you do becomes a preparatory discipline, it's with worship. When does it become converted into discipline, worship? Purushartha nischeha, commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, commitment to Bhagavan, commitment to Bhagavan dhim of, surrender to Bhagavan dhim of dharma, commitment to, you know, then is proper attitude. These are the things which convert the attitude with which you perform, converts your action into worship, yoga. Otherwise, ayuktaha, disintegrated. Ayuktaha, kamakarena. What happens? Phales ayuktaha nibadhyate. Look at this. Yuktaha shantim apnoti. Yuktaha naishthikim shantim apnoti. Ayuktaha nibadhyate. Nibadhyate means what? Badhyate means is bound. Nibadhyate nischayena badhyate. He will remain bound. He is bound. Continuously he is bound. He remains bound in samsara. How? Phale saktaha. Their karma, he is karma phale, karma palam tyaktva shanti mapnoti yuktaha. Whereas ayuktaha phale saktaha. Phale saktaha means he is interested only in the results of actions. Phale saktaha, phaleshu saktaha. His interest is only in fruits of actions. Why? Because he is dependent only on fruits of actions for his happiness and security. He is not at all interested in jnanam or moksha. He is not at all interested in Bhagavan. Phale saktaha. So, kamakaraha, kamakarena, and all his actions are impelled by his desires. His actions are governed by his likes and dislikes. His actions are dictated by his likes and dislikes. His actions being dictated by his own desires in the form of likes and dislikes. His actions being dictated by his own emotions, especially desires. And he is completely attached to his, he is totally dependent on, he is only interested in his results of actions. Phale saktaha. Such a person, and definitely he cannot manage his emotions. And his thought, word and deed cannot be identical because he doesn't even know the value of dharma. He may not even live a life of dharma. Then as a person of, as a disintegrated minded, this person will continue to remain in samsara forever. Phale saktaha nibadhyate, kamakarena phale saktaha, ayuktaha nibadhyate, yuktaha shanti mapnoti, yuktaha muchyate, ayuktaha badhyate. Who is liberated, who is bound? Ayuktaha is bound, yuktaha is liberated. So Bhagavan makes it very clear. Don't worry about jnanam and moksha now. Of course, jnanam will be your choice, is a choiceless end. Now you work for preparing your mind for jnanam. See that you become relatively pure and steady. Antakarna shuddhi. And that is, mental refinement is important for subtlest. Truth has to become revealed. You know, you must become mentally refined. And the take care of mental refinement, that is possible only when you live your day-to-day life consciously, carefully, praying to Bhagavan, seeking Bhagavan's grace, always for purity and steadiness, and with proper attitude. So the other way is, there's no shortcut method. There's no way of preparing our mind for jnanam at all. There's no way of becoming refined minded, mature minded, who's qualified for jnanam. No way. No shortcut method. This is the only way. Because living a life of dharma means living a life in conformity with the order, which means that is where ahimsa becomes the governing exalt of the values, which means you are living a life consciously, because conscious living alone can contribute for mental intellectual sharpness. So in intellectual sharpness and emotional stability will go together only when you live your life consciously. The conscious living means you are not doing anything mechanically. You are paying attention to everything what you are doing, what you are doing. You are always conscious. That means there's alertness. So living a life of dharma means being alert. You are not mechanical. That's very important. That is why there's no shortcut method at all. That is why Swamiji used to say here, whether you practice meditation, you practice pranayama, you do yogasana, you go to temples, you go to pilgrimages, everything is fine. They're all punya karma, fine. But they'll all be effective. They'll all contribute for mental purity and steadiness only if you live a life of dharma. So without being ethical, merely being religious, will help you earn some punyam, but they will not contribute for mental preparedness. If antahkarna shuddhi, if what you do does not contribute for mental purity, it can help you earn punyam. You can get the results of some punyam later on. Some pleasures you can enjoy. But mental preparedness, mental refinement, you cannot buy. Why? You need Bhagavan's grace. Only if what you do, your prayer, your disciplines you follow, all the austerities you follow, your duties you do, worship, any from religious activity or mundane activity, any activity, if it has to contribute for mental preparedness, mental refinement, then dharma is important. Without being ethical, however you are religious, then you can earn punyam, which can be translated later on for enjoyment of pleasures, but not mental refinement. And without mental refinement, no jnanam possible. No knowledge is possible. Without knowledge, no moksha is possible. Okay? Therefore, mental refinement presupposes living a conscious, alert, a life of alertness, which involves dharma, values, okay? That's why Bhagavan says here in this verse, so without being attached to the results of actions, the integrated minded a karma yogi discovers, attains peace. Born of the ascertained vision, which is accomplishable as a qualified person. Whereas ayuktaha, the person being attached to the results of actions, and impelled by his doing actions, impelled by his desires, as a disintegrated minded, he will be bound by karma. So a karma yogi can be peaceful relatively while living a life karma yoga. absolutely he will have, later on he will have absolute peace also. He can be relatively peaceful while living, and later on he can discover absolute peace. Whereas Ayuktaha cannot be peaceful while living also. He can never attain absolute peace. He'll be bound forever. How much Bhagavan emphasizes Karma Yoga. Okay. Why? He praises Grihastaha. Our householder is praised here. A householder can live a life of Karma Yoga. Thereby he can become qualified. He is in the right track. Even if he doesn't become a celebrity, doesn't become very big person, an ordinary grihastha who lives life dharma, a karma yoga, he is in the right track. He will be the person who will become absolutely successful person. Okay, we'll see next class. Any questions? Sometimes I exactly talk to you what I heard directly from Swamiji. You know that? For me, the words are just rings in my ears, what I heard. I want to talk to you what I heard, how exactly I heard. My voice is different, the way I talk is different. Swamiji speaks, used to speak very slowly. I'm very fast, that's my problem. I can't even change the words. Because seeing Bhagavan as order is the most beautiful thing. One of the names of the Lord is Dharma. Dharmakrit, Dharmabuk, Dharmi. All comes in Vishnu Sahasranama. Bhagavan is Yajna, Bhagavan is Dharma, Bhagavan is Karma, Bhagavan is everything. No questions, no doubts. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.